Hey, Chicks in the Office listeners, you can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
For us, golf is simple. It's a chance to get out and have some fun with our friends. But inevitably, little things have a way of ruining it. The group ahead is taking forever, you can't find the fairway with a map, and the bev cart is nowhere to be found. And the best way to make a bad day better is Fireball Whiskey. You get their nips, the little shooters. They are great. Makes bad day way, way, way better. Make sure to grab the new Fireball Birdie Shot Club. It's literally a golf club filled with Fireball nips. Put it in your bag. It'll fit right in that side pocket. Drink Fireball nips and have a great time on the golf course.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. When did cheap plastic disposables with 90s-style graffiti art become the norm? No offense if gaudy pastel is your style, but the Flonk Max Smart embodies a smarter way to vape. The Flonk is sleek and discreet, and the most popular flavors are available nicotine-free and in 2% and 5% strength. A flexible disposable with a smart LED screen, the Flonk churns out 10,000 dense and delicious puffs. Visit MyPod.com and use promo code STOOL for 25% off Flonk vapes.
What's up, everyone? It's Chicks in the Office with Rhea and Fran, giving you that Friday energy on a Wednesday. We have reached Hometowns Week. This is the Bachelor Recap. Of course, every Wednesday we do that. We are joined by Trent. We are in studio. Fran has these blue headphones because we had a little technical difficulty. So nobody judge Fran for the lack of AirPods. She has them. She has AirPods, everybody. But she's wearing wired headphones.
While we're on that topic, I would also like to say that I own AirPods.
Yes.
But when we do cutting stems remotely, I wear wired headphones because I don't like the way, and I think Fran might be experiencing this right now, where when I have my AirPods in, I can't hear myself. And I do not like that. So when I wear the wired ones, I can hear myself. And I know that comes along with its own problems where sometimes it brushes up against my beard and people were like,
actually, Colby, our tech guy, was like, does he know where the mic is on the headphones? Because you were holding it like sideways to avoid the beard.
I know. That's the reason I wear wired ones. I do have AirPods as well. Fran has AirPods. We all have AirPods. It's just sometimes it's easier to record without them.
I have actually the opposite. So I can hear myself when I have the AirPods in. And now with these guys, I can't hear myself at all. I feel like I'm muffled. It's a weird sensation.
Right. And that's so strange because when I bought AirPods, I guess I bought the more expensive version.
The older ones.
Yeah.
And it's these guys. It's
yes,
the buds.
That's it.
No, it just dunked on her.
Those buds.
It's just because of the buds.
No, but I'm jealous of you, Fran, because I wish I had your AirPods where they don't have the noise canceling aspect, because when you have those in, it is your voice is muffled and you don't feel like you're as connected to the podcast as you usually are.
Right. I like to hear myself talk when I'm talking.
I think there's actually an option in settings that you can turn the noise canceling off on your AirPods.
Really?
Yeah, I do.
There is.
We're going to have to look into that when we're done
here.
Yeah,
we will. Okay, well, it's Bachelorette recap time. I'll get out in front of this. I did not really watch the episode on Monday night for good reason. I saw Rachel skydive into the ground because I feel like that was something I had to tune into. But I couldn't pay attention to the show because I was in severe pain. And now, if you listen to this podcast, you hear me talk about pain all the time.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, we've found the answer.
That is exciting. It's very comforting.
Ladies
I know.
And gentlemen, we have a diagnosis.
Yes, we do. And I'm hyped about it. Like, I'm in a weirdly good mood about this because for years now, I've been talking about this weird stomach pain. I get it, and it consumes my body for, like, it'll start in a mid-afternoon and last until the next day. It's like a 10-hour-plus journey that I have to get on, like, every other month or so. And I know when it comes every month, or not every month. That sounds like a period. It's like every other month. And then once it goes away, I'm like, oh, okay, I got, like, another month and a half before this comes back. This Saturday, I got it, and it lasted until Sunday afternoon, and then it went away, and then it came back yesterday during The Bachelor, and I said, this is not right. This is a twofer. I never have a twofer. I only have a one-day thing, and it goes away. This is a two-day back-to-back. Something's wrong. So I couldn't pay attention to the show. during cutting stems, I popped on. I couldn't do cutting stems. I was in so much pain. I popped into the comments. I was like, guys, should I go to the hospital? Yes or no? People were like, yes, go. And I was like, I really just don't
casually
want to go to the
hospital. Scared some people.
I did. People were like, Rhea, are you? I'm like, yeah, guys, I don't know. I feel like it may be a gallbladder attack. From what I'm looking up on the web, that's what it's saying. And I don't like to say Google's right all the time because usually it will tell you you're dying when you Google. But I was like, something about this seems right. I've had every other thing checked. This is the only thing I haven't had checked. And then, boom, I got checked this morning. They're like, you got to have that shit removed. Trent, ever so nicely, named her Gabby.
You said GB.
Yeah.
And you kept calling it GB, and the first name that came to mind was Gabby.
Yeah.
And so
Gabby is her name.
Gabby's really been a pain in your side, literally. Yeah.
Literally, Gabby's been a pain, and now we have it. I got to get her removed, so my stomach doctor says. And so, fine. She said that I got sludge on that thing. She said not stone. Sludge sounds disgusting. She said it's not quite stones, but it's sand. So it's almost stones.
Purpose of it, there is not.
It's like it helps your digestive tract in some way. It like does something. It breaks down bile or something like that. You don't need it, but it does help.
Yeah.
So I don't know. If you're gonna come in my DMs and tell me that it's gonna be worse after, please don't do that, because I've had already a lot of people doing that to me, being like, "Oh no, your stomach's gonna feel way worse after," and I'm like, "Well, then what's the point of getting it removed?" Because
right. I think you just have to be very careful. Even more careful, I think, about what you eat.
Yeah.
Post surgery.
Right.
Which sucks.
That's what I was gonna say. There's nothing worse than having to be like,
sucks.
Have to watch what you eat, because there's nothing better than just eating like pure garbage all the time.
You guys both know me. I eat pure garbage all the time. I love pure trashy fucking garbage.
I love it.
10 spicy chicken nuggets from Wendy's, a frosty, a large fry, a big old junior bacon cheeseburger, fucking Big Mac from McDonald's, Sticky's chicken fingers that you put into that sweet chili sauce.
So good.
Oh, honey mustard. I fucking love dipping chicken tenders into honey mustard. By the way, which all makes sense, because want to hear what I had this weekend to eat? On Friday, I had hot dogs for lunch. Then I went to Nobu, so I had like a variety of like salty fish and Wagyu tacos. Then I had chicken tenders and then a grilled cheese. On Saturday, I had fried chicken and waffles. Then I made quesadillas at night, which I did 2 days in a row because I did that Sunday night, even after having my stomach hurt. What else did I just yesterday for lunch I decided I'm gonna have a burrito from Chipotle for lunch. I'm gonna have a burrito, and then I'm gonna go home and I'm gonna fry chicken with lemon and butter and garlic and onions and oil and just fucking fry that shit, and then have to get GB removed. So that's where I'm at.
You know,
good for you. That was a good run. That's a good run of food.
It's been fun, but apparently it has to end.
Yeah. Some might say that has contributed to said sludge.
Yeah, it's sludgy in there for sure. Sludge. That would equal sludge.
It's an unbelievable word being used by a doctor.
Yeah. Like she didn't look at. Now people are tuning in for the Bachelor recap, but whatever. She didn't look because when you go get like an ultrasound, it's at a different place than your actual doctor, so they have to send it over. Whatever. She didn't look at it before she talked to me. So as she was talking to me, she was like, oh, it looks sludgy. Like, it looks like you have sludge on there.
Oh, good.
She was like, and it's not. Yeah, and I was like, oh, yes. I was hyped. I was like, you know what? Thank you, because I don't feel crazy anymore.
We just needed an answer.
Like, I was starting to feel like a hypochondriac a little bit, you know? Like, just complaining about things all the time and not having an answer. And the doctor being like, well, we don't see anything wrong. And me being like, well, I literally can't move. I'm in so much pain. And even I was texting my family about it today. My dad was like, to be honest, I really hope they find something, because this is getting a bit annoying. Fran was saying it's like it's annoying everyone now. So
yeah, it's great to have an answer like that. It's a very fixable answer.
Yeah, and I've always wanted to have. I was always jealous of the people that got appendicitis. You know, they got their appendix removed and was like, I'm walking around with one less organ than everybody else and I don't need it. It's like, that's cool. I am now gallbladderless. Not now. I have to schedule and everything, but
yeah.
I will be one less organ.
Yeah.
Almost there.
Omo.
One less lonely organ.
Who are these people in your life bragging about not having their appendixes?
Well, yeah. I will say my friend in high school, when she got her appendix taken out.
I was going to say, it sounds like she got one person. Yeah. Like one friend.
Yeah. One friend in high school, she got her appendix taken out. It was like, I specifically remember it being such a funny thing that she would just always be like, well, I got my appendix taken out. And it was like, fuck, like you got a week off of school. And I guess it seemed cooler because you get a week off of school.
Yeah.
They give you a little pain medication. You eat, you know, your mom takes care of you. And it's like it's for like a week. You get like a little week vacation of being sick.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like I was always into that. So,
yeah.
So now I'm like, this may answer the problem. I have an answer. Finally, I don't feel crazy. And also, I'm getting my, a fun little week where I get my gallbladder taken out.
And like Hank is going to take care of you. You know, yeah.
I don't have to walk Norman or, you know, like that type of thing. Like I get like a week off. Although I say that, that's the positive way to look at it. I'm going to be in severe pain probably afterwards. Yeah. It's going to be uncomfortable to sleep. I'm not going to be able to eat a lot of things. I'm probably going to be miserable.
Mm-hmm.
So let's be real about that. But I'm the girl with no gallbladder.
You got an answer.
I got an answer.
Get out of here, Gabby. Get out.
See you, Gabs. Nobody wants you anymore. You guys should get yours out, too. Yeah. We could all be matching.
I'm surprised I don't have that problem because I'm similar to you where I just eat like garbage all the time. And sometimes it's the only thing that makes me truly happy at times.
Like chips and dip.
Yeah.
And like,
just I had you, a lot of that, too. When you would come over for the Super Bowl and you got, I went and got chips and you were like, get chips and French onion dip. Yeah. And I hadn't had French onion dip.
French onion dip is so
in
good.
A very long time. And so now good. I can't stop buying it. It's a problem
it's
now.
It's so fucking good. I literally ate a whole thing of it this week. That's why GB's happening.
What type
that's
of chips do you like to have?
Like Ruffles?
Yes, Ruffles.
Yes. Ruffles.
Like, yeah. Ruffles.
Yeah. Trent likes the sour cream and cheddar one, which was the first time I ever had it. It was fucking bomb the other night.
Those
I had them. I was like, oh my God. But yeah, no, like Trent, we should have been in the hospital after what we ate that day. Jalapeno peppers, mozzarella sticks, rice balls, pizza, garlic bread. Like, are you kidding me? We're a bunch of trash cans.
So I feel like my gallbladder has got to be coming out at some point. I'm just gonna ride this wave until they have to take my gallbladder out.
Everyone's so lucky that doesn't have a gallbladder problem.
You got an answer, though. We're good.
Yeah, we got an answer. And so that is the reason I did not watch Monday night's episode of The Bachelor. So I'm here for moral support.
Yeah, we're just I was like, went through that whole thing. And yeah, that's the reason why I wasn't watching The Bachelor.
Like, could not be any more me to be that traumatic about my gallbladder.
Oh, man. But you know what? Honestly, from your person.
Friend, ever since you met me, how have I been complaining about the stomach pain?
Rhea has constantly been in pain where it's frustrating as a friend. And I think a lot of people who know you can agree with me where it was like, fucking figure out what's wrong with you. Like, we're so, like, come on. But it wasn't even your fault because you were like, you spent time in the hospital. You went to other doctors and they were like, we don't know.
I'd like to add, I'd like to add, I have two other problems. Now it's not just my gallbladder. I have endometriosis and I have pelvic congestion syndrome. So add that all with my gallbladder. The girl's going to be in pain, okay? Mm-hmm. The girl's going to be
absolutely.
In pain.
Absolutely, and some of the pain you
it
might
It lowers
have, like,
your quality of life.
Yeah. Yes. Right,
endometriosis
definitely.
Is going to give you tons of pain. Like, that's endometriosis is going to do that. So now finding out that there is
I have varicose veins
concrete.
On my ovaries. I got varicose veins. Who has varicose veins on their ovaries? I do.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
I'm in pain.
So knowing that you now can do something to lift some of the pain, it's
that's the poll.
A relief.
Did you think we were playing footsie? No, my feet are very much under my chair.
No, I didn't.
Are you sure?
Oh, Fran's out of the room. Okay, let's start the Bachelor
guys,
recap.
Guys, come on. Don't get too crazy while I'm not there. Okay, we're going to get into our Bachelor recap. Hometowns before we get into the dates.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
All right, everyone, let's get into hometowns.
Woo-woo!
The whole group has the silly ha-has right now. We're recording later than we normally do, and I think everybody
it's 8 p.m.
is just getting a little giggly. So let's get into the first hometown. Michelle went first. It was very, very sweet. The whole date was adorable. They wore matching outfits, which was not planned, but like they were in the exact same shade of blue and black pants. It was a little bit of like a siblings are dating vibe. Not, I can't believe I'm already going to go off topic and we started 2 seconds into this, but have either of you guys ever seen the siblings are dating Instagram account?
That's what it's called. You told me to look this up and yes. One day I was like, what was that Instagram friend told me to look up? You and your siblings were talking about it.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm going to do that right now while you guys talk about the Bachelor.
I've never heard of it. I've never heard of that.
Oh, it's a ton of fun. It's basically like a guessing game. They post on their stories every day a couple, and you have to guess like if a they're either siblings or they're dating. So
right.
You have to guess from the picture if the people in the photo are siblings or dating. And it's hilarious because most of the time, like you think you're right, and then they're like, nope, that's a couple. You're like, oh, those two are definitely siblings. And then it's like, nope, they're a couple. So it's fun. It's a lot of fun. You should go check it out. I think you can play it as a game. It shocks a lot of people.
That's an A plus idea. We're looking at it right now. That's an A plus idea for an Instagram account.
Yeah,
that's Katie, I believe, from The Bachelor.
Oh, yeah. That's perfect. Katie from The Bachelor's on there.
They mix in famous people, which is great. Like they did, they had Lucy from Love Island, Rhea, and it was like her and her sister, and it was like siblings are dating. It's great. It's very fun. But this was like Michelle and Matt had like a siblings are dating moment in this matching outfit. And they got to go speak with Michelle's students over Zoom, which was adorable, obviously super cute. The kids were getting involved. But you know, Matt,
it is cute having the kids get involved, but you got to watch out for kids when they ask questions. You just don't, you never know. It's not like
Rhea, stop distracting like, Trent. We're no, trying to talk
one.
About
I just, the episode. I just one.
Oh, oh, really?
Crazy,
siblings.
Right?
I would have said, I would have said
okay,
couple.
I just wanted to show him one that was like, whoa.
That was a whoa. Asking questions. And we talked a little bit about this last night, but kids don't have that filter that we all have when you grow up. It's like you don't ask borderline inappropriate questions, but kids, they'll give it to you. And they were asking, are you guys dating? Are you guys going to get married? Like all these questions. I thought Matt handled it pretty well. He continued to say, that's a great question to these kids, which, you know, he famously on this show, I think Fran got 3, Rhea got 2.
Yeah.
I got 1 barely. But he does. He uses that all the time. But it was a cute date.
Yeah, you and little Chris, I don't know what the kid's name was. I'm making up. You and that student, same count on the great questions. So, you know, he's just dishing them out. He's really dishing them out. But you know what they say? Like you said, kids say the darndest things.
Right.
So it was cute. It was fun. They went to meet Michelle's parents, who were just a gift. Absolute, probably up there with the best parents we've seen on this show. There have been some great ones, but this was an immediate reaction of like, these parents are just absolutely spectacular. I think like, I know Nick Viall replied to one of my tweets talking about his parents being like, they're upset, but Nick Viall's parents also amazing. You know, Nick's mom has had like 11 children. Like it's their family is massive. But Michelle's parents were just so sweet. So sweet.
They were sweet. They were adorable. Michelle's from the Midwest. You get nice Midwest parents. You can't beat that. I got a couple of them myself and they're just the best. Like the dad was adorable and he's got a great voice and they're very supportive of Michelle. Like they have the level of skepticism that all parents have when they on this show. They're like, you know, it's a weird process, but we trust Michelle and what she's going to do and any decision that she makes. And they were just all around really great. One of my favorite parts of the date or of meeting the parents was when the mom was talking to I forget if it was Michelle or Matt, but she was just like, your dad, he just puts me first in everything. Everything he does, he puts me first. And they were just so, so sweet and adorable.
Yeah, they were great. And you don't really see the parents with the automatic trust in this process. It's like, all right, we trust you. If this is what you want to be doing, we are going to trust you. It's just a sweet couple from Minnesota. And that's my Minnesota.
Minnesota.
And they were so great. And on top of that, Michelle's dad should like, I should tell stories for a living. I would like him to read bedtime stories. Like he should be on the Calm app. There is and read everybody bedtime stories. It would be super soothing. Like everything about it was so wholesome. Then they had them go outside and like shoot hoops. They did like it was like a little 2-on-2 dynamic between Michelle and Matt and Michelle's parents, and just seemed like they were having a great time. It felt like it was plucked right out of a sitcom. Just good old fashioned family fun.
It's and come to find out later on, it's good that we had one, you know, seamless hometown with a set of parents, because that was really the only one that didn't have some sort of drama baked into it. Michelle's parents were great. All the other ones, they were average, I would say, at best.
Yeah, that's for sure. And Michelle's, as far as we know, in love. Like, she's down. She's telling her parents she's in love. She loves Matt. She's ready for an engagement. You sometimes you see some hesitation from these girls, and we saw it obviously later in the episode. But when Michelle's parents were like, are you ready for an engagement? She's like, yeah, I'm down. Like, I want this guy to be my husband. So Michelle is 100% all in.
And when I say average, I didn't mean the parents were average. I just meant like it didn't go as well. None of them went near as well as Michelle's went.
Right.
Yeah,
totally. Michelle's it was flawless. It just seemed like an all around amazing time. And then we had Rachel. And Rachel took Matt skydiving. I don't know who came up with this idea, why they wanted to do skydiving. They did get some great aerial shots of Nemacolin. So maybe that was in the package, the deal, the advertising deal that they set up together. Be like, hey, we'll go skydiving. We'll get some great aerial footage for you guys. The resort's going to look fabulous. But obviously, the big part of this was Rachel just absolutely face planting into the ground on their landing, and what looked like was being led by a 13-year-old boy.
I just can't get over that picture. I really can't.
Incredible.
It was the last thing I thought about when I fell asleep last night. It was the first thing I thought about when I woke up this morning. It's just so funny. And Nick Viall, credit to him. He was the first one who pointed it out, because I completely missed it, didn't see it. And then you see it and you think that it's fake and that it's not real. But boy, is it real. That guy or kid or child looked 12 years old, and it was just so, so funny.
They really should have used the ambulance in this shot. If they want to make hometowns dramatic, you throw the ambulance in the trailer, because she should have gone to the hospital. The way that she landed, I have a slow-mo video on my Twitter where you could slowly see the way she landed. It looks like she broke both legs and maybe an arm and knocked all her teeth out.
Her face.
Every which angle you look at this, it looks like both of them got severely injured. It is crazy. It was just like, oh, we're going to brush Rachel's hair and we're just going to get on with this date. Like, that's it. We're just going to move along here. Like, no dramatic ambulance. Are you joking? Probably when they needed it most. I think what did Evan go to the hospital for on Paradise? It was like a little cutter, a little pain or something he had. Rachel faceplant literally ate the earth. And they were like, all right, let's move along.
It is telling about the whole ambulance thing, where I think it was almost too serious for them to show it. It's like someone, I think this did happen, where someone like stubbed their toe and they brought in an ambulance. It has to be something like that where it's clearly funny. And this one, they hit the ground so hard that no one was
so hard
that they were like, maybe we will bring an ambulance in, but we're not going to turn it into a bit.
And no replay? It almost feels like they did cover up the injury check. They must have done a concussion check on that. That she fucking slammed. And if they didn't, they're probably watching it back like, oh, wow, we probably should have checked on Rachel a bit more.
I'm sure they had to put her. They had to put her through some sort of like protocol. Yeah.
Something.
They glossed over it on purpose for sure, because I think they showed it for 2 seconds and then was moving right along to probably try and avoid this conversation that we're having right now, to be like, Rachel, like, they really put Rachel in danger there. Like, that's, you know, when you sign that waiver to go skydiving, you're like, hey, I know that if something happens, it's my, like, I signed my life away. That's what you have to do when you go skydiving. Like, it's just,
she fucking face planted into that thing.
They can't.
She did, and it was so severe.
They didn't tease that enough. I have to say, somebody tweeted to me the amount of times they teased the fence jump for Colton and teased this one time. This was the like most severe injury I've seen on this show. That just no slow mo replay. No slow mo. Are you joking?
That is so true, because I had missed it, but they did tease it at the end of last week's episode. And then when they played it at the beginning of last night's episode, I was like, holy shit. Yeah. Like, it looked like they came in hot. But you're right. If they're going to tease Colton jumping over the fence, or if they're going to tease
Pete hitting his head,
or not, this isn't the same thing, but Heather showing up for 6 weeks in advance, you can show us like a skydiving accident gone wrong. Because it seemed like she ultimately was fine. She did mention while talking to her mother, where she said, I'm wearing a lot of makeup because I do have bruises on my face. Oh. Where it's just, it seemed far more violent than they let on. And I think Fran is probably right. They wanted to get past that as quickly as they could.
For sure. This is the cover up where it's like, we can't even use this for
They were not happy with my slow-mo video.
Right.
Yeah, they couldn't even use it for content, like, where it was that bad, where they were like, ooh. You know, like Pete, they're like, he's got, you know, it's a cut on his forehead. He's okay.
Yeah,
a
little,
like,
boo-boo.
We'll milk the shit out of this and tease it a billion times. But with this, it seemed like a little bit more serious. And also just from the way Matt reacted to it, like, Matt having this conversation with Rachel afterwards, being like, you know, you don't realize your feelings for someone until you're in this moment. Like, Matt was talking about it as if he just witnessed a life or death moment.
Yeah.
And he could not live without Rachel. Like, that's how he was communicating with her afterwards. And we only saw it once, because it was like, they definitely didn't want to show it again. And then, It became like a light subject. It was, Rachel goes to see her parents. They were like, we went skydiving. It was great. And then she's like, I kind of had an incident. Like, is she even tried to downplay it to her parents? I bet her parents watched that clip back on TV and was like, holy shit. Like, you were okay after that?
I couldn't agree more. That was, I also took a video of it and I watched it a couple times. They really just come down so hard and so fast.
The, like you said, Trent, the screenshot of Rachel attached to this kid's, like, the kid who jumped out of the plane with her looks like he is 13 years old.
He's wearing the most typical, like, 13-year-old sunglasses, too.
Oh, like, yes.
13-year-old at Six Flags, like.
France at best, Bar Mitzvah.
On Cutting Steps, I was like, this is like, he got those in his gift bag leaving a bat mitzvah. Yeah. Like, and he's got them on and he's wearing double glasses.
Yeah.
He has his normal glasses on and then the sunglasses over the normal glasses. He couldn't see jumping out of that plane.
I was really hoping, and it could still happen, but I was hoping that all of our tweets and talking about it on Cutting Stems and this podcast now, I'm really hoping the guy reaches out at some point and he's like, I'm 33, guys. Like, stop calling me a teenager. Stop calling me 12 years old. I am a grown adult man. Because as of right now, the only people talking about it is us, and we're calling him a teenager because he looked like a teenager.
Yeah. And then Rachel's, the sit down with Rachel's parents was, I don't know, it's just bizarre to watch now, right? We're watching this with a different lens. Matt James put out a statement before Hometowns. We haven't really, you know, he had posted on his story in support of Rachel Lindsay last week, but this was a full post where he talked about, you know, I think he said the incredibly disappointing photos of Rachel Kirkconnell and like the way he spoke about it. If Rachel is the one he picks at the end, the statement read like they are no longer together. You know, like I just don't, if he was still with Rachel or was engaged to Rachel at this time, if that's what happens, I don't really know if he puts out that statement like he did.
Yeah, no, it certainly reads like I am single. Yeah, if we all assume that he picks Rachel and this whole shitstorm has happened and he's seeing it, and I think he even said in the statement, I'm seeing all this in real time as well. Like, I didn't know anything about anything during the season, obviously. When you read that statement, it's hard not to think that he's definitely single, I would think. If you read that statement, there's no denying that. So we are viewing all of this through a different lens, and we're even viewing the hometown with Rachel's parents through a different lens. All of this, it just has a different feel to it now that all these things have come to light.
Right, just feels like the season's been ruined. Like there's just it's just not not that every, I don't know, just the like everything behind it, the Chris Harrison and everything that's happened, just has, like I said, we've said it on the show before, has made the end of this season feel so different, and the excitement is just, it's just not there. We know what's going down. Matt James should get a second try at being the Bachelor.
That's what I tweeted that last night. I said we might have to start over. We just start this season over. Matt James gets another shot at it, or if things shake out the way that we think they shake out, is he gonna hit up one of the other girls that was a finalist, or what happens? It just hasn't, you know.
Because obviously, if it was Michelle, it would be great. Everyone would be happy if Michelle won. But from what it's looking like, it doesn't seem like it's going that way. It seems like it's going quite the opposite. So kind of an unfortunate season.
Yeah.
For ending, I guess. I mean, like the second half of it and on. And him living it right now.
Right.
Yeah. If it was Michelle, I think they definitely would have tried to handle the Rachel stuff differently throughout the season. So we still have to see what happens. We haven't gotten there yet, but we watched his hometown with Rachel's parents, and Rachel's parents definitely didn't seem that into the whole idea of the show, which is fine. A lot of most parents don't, especially when the kid, you know, their daughters or sons are on the younger side. Rachel's 24. So I think they were definitely a little more hesitant. You know, Rachel's mom was like, Are you sure there's no red flags, no nothing, no complaints, no bad days? Like, she was really trying to see if there was something else going on. Her parents just seemed hesitant about the whole thing, which is fine. That's fair. But Matt did bring up with Rachel, which at least we didn't see from with any of the other women, that he said to Rachel, like, I didn't ask your dad for his blessing because I don't want to do that with every father on these hometowns. If we get to that point, I'll call him and ask him for his blessing. And she had said, like, oh, I was kind of disappointed that he didn't ask, which makes me just think that Rachel and Matt on the side, like, Matt's like, psst, it's you.
Yeah.
Like, you're good. Right. You know, because she's like, she was like, you know, I was disappointed that he didn't ask. Like, she really feels like it's Matt and her. And even when she was talking to her parents, too, like, she didn't seem worried about the other women at all. So it was just interesting that Matt shared that with Rachel and not with the other girls. And or if he did, they didn't show it.
A bit of advice to the future Bachelors, that's probably the way to do it, as opposed to asking every single dad whether or not he can marry their daughter. It's probably more entertaining if they do it that way, where they ask everybody, because it is such a strange process when they do it with each of the dads. But probably waiting until you get down to the final one or two and calling them is probably the better idea, I would think.
Yeah. Keegs made a good point on Cutting Stems that was like, you forget that some of these big, like, these are big life moments for a lot of these people. It's like a reminder of when Hannah Ann and Peter broke up, and Hannah Ann was like, you took that. You took my first engagement like away from me. Like, I'll never get that back.
What a disaster.
So, yeah, what a disaster. So it's just like a reminder that it is an engagement. And, you know, I think a lot of girls think about what their engagement's going to be like, and their parents, and first engagement, who knows? So it was interesting that Matt shared that with Rachel, and it's just become more and more clear. I almost feel like they're making it so obvious on purpose to just be like, yeah, we're trying to get to the end of this thing too.
It is. It's hard to tell, right? Because we think we know what happens now. So we just view everything that way, where maybe if we hadn't known these things, it's impossible to know. But if we didn't know or didn't have a good idea of what was going to happen, maybe we'd view it differently. But at the time or at the moment now, it certainly seems like Rachel is far and away the number one finalist right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I would be rooting so hard for Michelle, which I am. I love Michelle. And I feel like Matt and Michelle actually has the potential to be a great couple. But just because we're watching it this way, it's like, oh, that was great. But is it going to matter? I don't know. we're going to have to wait and see. And then there was Bree's hometown. Before we get into that...
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Bree's hometown, another one that was nice. It was solid. It was a good hometown. And Bree has been great on this show because I think out of everyone, she has been the most vulnerable. I think she has opened up the most. I think she has shared the most about her life. Like, right away, she sat down with Matt and was like, look, my hometown, my family dynamic might look different than the normal family or the standard family, whatever that is. And I just want to let you know that. Let's talk about it. And Matt was very open to it, spoke about, being raised by single moms. And Bree really has let her walls down and has tried to communicate with Matt as best as possible, because you can tell she's still hesitant. Like, there's still times when she's like, I can't believe I'm sharing my feelings like this on TV. Like, I feel like in the back of her mind, sometimes she's like, I really can't believe I'm doing this and I'm here right now. But seeing her with her mom and her best friend, also named Bree, and her new sister was incredible. It was so cute. That baby was adorable. Matt might not be ready for babies, though. I don't know. He looked scared. And it's funny because he looked scared of the baby. And it was either Bree or Bree's mom was like, Matt, you look a little nervous. And he was like, no, I'm good. It's I don't know about that.
Like, I'm totally cool. Yeah, as soon as that baby entered the room, his eyes started to dart around. And he was like, do they want me to hold that baby? Because I don't know if that would have gone over that well. I don't know if Matt's into hanging out with babies. He probably hasn't held that many babies.
So I haven't.
You haven't?
No.
No?
Not once.
I think I was going to say, I think I would be just as nervous as Matt
was. Not once?
I have never held a baby.
You've never held a baby?
What in the world?
No. I've never held a baby.
That's interesting.
Where would I? I'm the youngest in my family.
You have, like, cousins?
When I was younger, maybe I may have held one of them, but I don't remember it. Not recently, not in the last 10 years.
I don't think I have in the last 10 years.
You weren't a babysitter growing up?
No.
Actually, no, I'm thinking. I don't know if I've ever held a baby.
Whoa!
I'm trying to think. Like, I can't remember a time when I did.
It's definitely been a while since I've held a baby. But
like,
I've
like an
held
infant
a baby.
We're talking
the
about.
I babysat twice for somebody my mom works with, but the baby was already asleep. So I didn't have to go near it. It was just, you got to stay in there. You just have to stay. You just have to stay in here and make sure nobody comes in and robs us and the baby stays asleep.
I definitely do. I can think of pictures that I've seen of myself when I was younger holding a baby.
That's what I'm thinking. I feel like there's a picture of me out there holding my baby cousin, but I don't remember. I don't think I've ever been so close to a baby's face. Like, I don't think, you know what I mean?
Feel comfortable holding a baby today?
Would I feel comfortable?
Have you not held a baby like over the age of like 15?
No, definitely not.
Neither have I.
Definitely not over the age of 10. Like I don't.
Yeah, I've got a nephew that now that you guys say pictures, I can definitely picture pictures of me holding my nephew, but that might be the last baby I've held. So it's been over 10 years.
I guess just because I'm the oldest cousin on both sides of my family.
Yeah,
right. I just have tons of younger cousins. Like,
maybe they don't trust you, Noah, with their babies.
That's yeah, true. My youngest cousin is 2 years old. So
you've held one recently.
Oh, I held babies all the time.
So you're like a baby person. You like love babies.
And I was a babysitter.
Claire.
Babies.
I nannied like before I worked at Barstool, like when I was in school in the city. Mm. I was like a nanny to three kids.
Mm. Of course you were a nanny.
When you said
some of us were like pizza restaurant hosts and some of us were nannies.
I was a security guard. yeah. But when you said that you'd never held a baby.
I was a pharmacy tech, but whatever.
Nice.
Yeah.
It's been longer than I had realized since I've held a baby.
Yeah, I don't know.
Matt's in the same pool. Clearly, he looked at that baby and was like, "I don't know about you."
If we ever interview him again, we might have to ask him when's the last time he held a baby.
A random ass baby. Think about it. It's not your family's baby or somebody in your baby. It's a random family's baby. This is the first time you're meeting the family. Now you're holding their baby. That seems.
I'd be worried about throw up, like on me.
Oh, that's
like
the last
projectile
thing
vomit.
Yeah. Came through my mind.
Really?
This little baby has a little throw up.
Just brush that right off.
They got the wardrobe in the back ready for Matt. In my life, what do I care? I'll just go home and get changed. You know, like
that's
whatever.
Gross.
It's a baby. It's a baby though.
It's throw up. Either way.
Yeah, oh, you've been around throw. It doesn't hurt you. It doesn't turn into a blob of monster and come at you.
It's baby disgusting. And baby spit up is like
it's a little. It's like
a little milk.
Yeah,
like it's like a little. It's like it's nothing.
It's like cute almost.
Yeah. Well, anyway,
all right, I'm
going
to go to the bathroom.
Okay. Okay, we'll talk about Bree.
What I do want to talk about is Bree's mom. She was
amazing,
fantastic. One of the Rhea's coming back now. What's up?
Bree's mom had a nose ring.
Yeah, there we go.
She did.
And that's
one
of the only things I noticed about the episode. So as I was walking out, I had to.
Fair.
Yeah.
And she did have a nose ring, and she had great advice. She just, all of the things she said, you could clearly see that Bree and her mom are very, very, very close. And that was just really great to see. And I know she had that one quote, and I know, Fran, maybe you're pulling it up or you know it now, but the things that she said to Bree were just very, very heartwarming, and they clearly have a very strong relationship. And regardless of what happens on this show, like, they're going to get through it together. And I think that's an important thing to tell someone when they're going through, when they're on a show like The Bachelor. It seems like there's a lot of pressure all the time because there's cameras around and is there going to be an engagement at the end of this? So it's nice to have someone tell you, like, even if this doesn't work out, it's going to be okay.
Yeah, definitely. They have a great relationship. If anybody's watched Gilmore Girls out there, I saw a lot of people comparing Bree and Bree's mom relationship to Lorelai and Rory's relationship from Gilmore Girls. They seem very close. I mean, Bree told us on the show, she said it very early on, you know, that her mom was pregnant with her when she was 13. So they're very close in age, extremely close in age. So they have this relationship where, you know, Bree's, and she talked about it, Bree's mom is now in like starting not a new family, because Bree's always going to be her family, but, you know, she is a newborn baby. Like, this is, and Bree is 24 years old. She has started her life. So it's just a really cool dynamic to watch on television. Bree's mom said to her, worst case scenario, we are mending a broken heart together. And then they hugged. And you know what? It was just like the nicest way to put it, because there's always so much drama around the hometowns and the tension and the you're not ready and I don't like this and all that stuff. And Bree's mom is clearly real. She's a real life person. She was like, you know what? Worst case, you have a broken heart. We'll fix it. You'll be good to go.
No, yeah, it's very important. It's a very beautiful thing to say, because there is so much pressure built up, and that's partly due to the show. It's a show about finding love and finding and getting engaged and getting married. So just to have someone be like, by the way, if this doesn't work out, we're going to get through it together and it's going to be totally fine. Like that's a sentiment that I hadn't necessarily, I don't remember ever hearing a parent say that in a hometown. And just hearing that, like the light goes off and you're like, oh yeah, that's true. Like obviously it'd be great for Bree and Matt if they have that connection ending up together and getting engaged and married and living happily ever after. But if not, we're going to move forward. We'll deal with it and we'll keep going. That's great.
Yeah, agreed. And Bree, I think she was really working up to that moment of saying to Matt that she was, you know, falling in love with him. She was getting to this point. And when she sat outside and told him, it wasn't a great reaction from Matt. Like, I feel like Matt likes Bree a lot because on paper, they make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Like, I think Matt's like, Bree is the type, we have a lot in common. She's beautiful. Like we have this relationship, but there seems to be, it's almost like what Serena P was saying about Matt.
Yes.
I feel like Matt's thinking about Bree. Like, I feel like he's like, I really like Bree, but like, there's just something potentially missing there. Maybe just from like, and we've talked about it all season long. This dude cannot hide his feelings. Like he is not a good actor. Like,
no,
as soon as Bree said it, there's been times when girls have been like, oh, I'm falling in love with you. And he's like, thanks. Like smiling ear to ear, like massive. And she said it and he was like,
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Like it was tough.
Matt's been a great bachelor. And I think he really has handled it all very well. If there is one critique for him, it's that his reactions sometimes don't match necessarily what the girl wants. And it's we can get to it with Serena P, where her sister tells her that I just don't see it and maybe you guys shouldn't end up together. And Serena P starts to spiral a little bit and she's freaking out about like, oh my gosh, am I making the right or wrong decision here? And she expresses that to Matt and Matt is just like, it's going to be fine. We're going to get through it. When on the face of that, saying that, it certainly sounds supportive, but Serena P wants more in that moment. She wants more reassurances. She wants Matt to seem like he's really like, talk to me more about this and tell me how you're feeling, when he's just more like, no, we'll get through it. It'll be fine. When that's not necessarily what someone in that situation wants to hear.
Yeah. I feel like Serena P, and she had it seemed like a very solid hometown. Serena P's parents are lovely. I wish we got more time with Serena P's parents.
Yeah.
We really only saw her mom because her mom was having those conversations with her and Serena's sister. But it kind of felt like a Kit situation again, where Kit was like, I made it this far and now it's time to bail, you know? But with Serena, I definitely think she had feelings for Matt and it was there. But she's also really young, and she was talking about having that relationship where she thought like it was it and there was no problems, and it that wasn't the case. She was like really crying. She was really emotional about it.
Yeah.
I think she needed to work through a lot of her emotions with her mom to be able to come to the conclusion that like maybe it's too soon from whatever last relationship she was dealing with. And two, like maybe she was trying to use Matt to be the Band-Aid. And it was like Matt wasn't really the right fit. It didn't really click for her and Matt. So it was interesting to see Serena work that all out with her mom and her sister, because that's really all she needed. And Serena P is young too. Everyone talked about Kit being so young. Serena P is 22. So like they're sitting with her and it just felt like her mom and her sister were both like, I don't know if this is a good idea.
Her sister, no messing around. They had just started talking and her sister was like, I don't see it. I just don't see it.
Her sister was like, something's missing.
Yeah.
Sorry, you're not that into him.
That
her
was
sister
funny.
Was like, you're just not that into him.
Whenever those moments are happening, I always picture the bachelor or the bachelorette, in this case, Matt, sitting in the other room, just sitting there like, this is nice. This is a really nice hometown that we're on. These people are great. We're all having a good time. And just in the other room, she is bawling. She is crying.
Yeah.
Just figuring out that she is not going to end up with Matt, that as she said later on, that he's not her person. And Matt's just sitting in the other room like, this is fun. That's always a funny visual. But it was good that she figured it out now, that she worked it out with her mom and her sister. And because you don't want to go much further, you're about as far as you can go on the show right now. But if you go much further, then you're really in it. So to figure that out now was good.
Definitely. I agree with you. I don't think Matt picked up on it until maybe Serena was leaving that night after the hometown. And was like, that kind of felt a little awkward, because we obviously see Matt go back and talk to Serena, and he has this sit down with Chris Harrison, which I feel like was cut down a lot. I just think that, you know, we've heard rumors that they were trying to cut part of Chris Harrison's stuff out of the rest of the season. Clearly they're not cutting the Women Tell All. There were some rumors that they were going to do that, but clearly they're not doing that. But they showed this sit down with Chris and Matt. I wish they did too. I really don't care
about the Women Tell All this year. I feel like it's just going to be a bunch of drama.
It's going to be a lot of Victoria.
Yeah, a lot of Victoria. Like, we've seen you. We're over you.
Yeah, definitely.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
All right, guys. Matt goes to speak to Serena P because they're having some issues. He's sensing some things are off. He goes to talk to her, and all of a sudden, we are in a alternate Bachelor universe where Serena P is actually the Bachelorette, and she sends Matt James home. Like, they sit on this couch, and Serena had like such a classic "I'm the Bachelorette breaking up with someone" speech.
Yes,
where it was like, you know, it's been crazy, and I'm not there. And you know what? I just don't think you're my person. And he was like, whoa, okay. Like, and Matt almost chuckled, it felt like, because he was like, oh, all right, this is happening. Well, this is over.
Not only that, but the silence after she said that felt like it lasted 45 minutes, because he was a little stunned by what was going on. And Serena P was equally as uncomfortable, because when she said, "You're not my person," she wasn't even really looking at him, because she knew how devastating that was going to be. And then Matt just let it sit there because he was stunned. But yeah, they did do the alternate universe thing where Matt said also, "You want to walk me out?" And then she walked him down to the car, put him in the SUV, and he had his moment that all the other contestants have, where there's clearly someone in there with a camera, and they're just like, "What are you going through right now?" And he's just like, "Yeah, wow, that really hit me." And listen, this has been just a crazy season, and a lot of crazy things have gone on, but there's still little things like that that make me love this show dearly. And when they do that, when they clearly on purpose said, we're going to make this look like Serena P is sending Matt home, and we're going to make it very dramatic. Like, I love that shit. I think that is just so much fun. It's a sad moment for Matt and Serena P, yes, but they got a little fun out of it by, you know, turning the tables, as they say. So I thought that was a really cool moment.
Yeah, I mean, putting Matt in the back of the SUV and then filming him where he just sat there in silence staring out the window like he just got sent home from a one-on-one date. Like, it's what he looked like. He was just sitting there, like, arms crossed, being like, wow, like, that just happened. So, and it's tough because I do think Matt likes Serena P a lot.
Definitely.
I think Matt, Serena P was up there more than I think maybe we thought, and I don't know if that's gonna fuck with him, if that's making him so emotional and some of these previews, but that's where we end. They did the rose ceremony anyway. The three women were there, and Michelle, Rachel, and Brie all got their roses. Brie did say that she was like, I feel like it's a bad sign I got the last rose. And you know what? If you're in that position, yeah, it probably is a bad sign that you got the last rose. Like, I can't imagine. Like, unless Matt's trying to pull some little, like, trick to be like, oh, I'm going to I'm going to get my favorite person in the last rows. Like, he went Michelle, Rachel, Brie. If you're last in that scenario, you're definitely in your mind thinking, like, that's not good.
Yeah, I don't – Matt wasn't trying to pull reverse psychology or anything. I think I think that is him power ranking what's going on the rest of the way. So, yeah, it's – now we're headed into – I guess we got Women Tell All next. That's right. And that'll be a shit show.
It's going to be a shit show. Women Tell All, Fantasy Suites, and then the finale. Interesting information. Well, the Women Tell All looks like it's going to be absolutely terrible. They're all screaming at Victoria. The preview looks ridiculous. I can't wait to see what Victoria is wearing. It looks absurd. And then it does kind of seem like we have this moment with Matt and Serena P where they're like, do you regret leaving? Like, which is interesting because the way that, like, the Women Tell All we know was filmed a few weeks back. And, like, what Matt's relationship status was at that time, like, unknown. You know, like, he could have come onto the Women Tell All and talked to Serena and in his mind been like, damn, like, I could go for Serena right now. Like, I'm single, you know?
Yeah.
And, but we just can't know that, and he can't say anything.
But why would he go for Serena after Serena sent him home?
Because I think he really likes Serena. And if Serena says, like, I made a mistake and the show got too big for me, I wasn't ready to get engaged, I feel like Matt would be like, okay, I'm down. Like, I'm not really ready to get engaged either.
Yeah, because dating on the show and dating in real life are very different. There's a lot of pressure when you're on the show to move very quickly along in your relationship. If you do it in the real world, you're just kind of like, all right, this is actually how I want to date, and we can take it slow if you want. And it's just very different. It will be interesting to see, because I think, yeah, it's so funny that was filmed a couple weeks ago, and then we're going to have After the Final Rose where we're going to find out whether or not he's single, which I'm pretty sure that he is, and then he can make a decision if he wants to call one of the other three girls. And what girl would it be?
I would love if he just didn't call any of them, because it would be
probably most case going to happen.
It would just be so different than what we usually get, right? Like, totally. Like Hannah was like, oh, hey, Tyler.
Yeah.
Pete was like, oh, hey, Madison. Oh, hey, Kelly. Oh, hey, Kelly again. Like, what if Matt James was just like, okay, I'm just going to move on from this because I don't really want to talk to anybody.
It's very plausible.
I'm not saying that they're great, you know, like Serena and
Michelle's Bree great.
And Michelle, they're all great. But, like, it would just be fun to see somebody do something a little different. Like, you know what? None of you.
And he also might just be like, I gotta put this season in the rear
view. I just have to forget that I ever went on this show. Why did I ever do this? Tyler, what did you make me do?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
He's like, I'm going to stick at CBRE doing commercial real estate. Like, he's,
who knows what's going to happen with Matt James after this?
And that really is like.
It's sad because it's like, you know.
He got screwed.
Yeah. It's, oh man, unfortunate situation.
And that's why there's a lot of anticipation for a lot of reasons leading up to the After the Final Rose where. It's well. Did we learn today that it's not going to be live? I guess so. That's a little different.
Rumor has it coming from Reality Steve, who was talking about like the Bachelorette announcement that they are filming. No, we don't know who the host is or what is happening, but the rumor is that they are filming the After the Final Rose this week, which means that it's not going to be live. It's like the first time it hasn't been live in forever. Obviously, they didn't do one last. They didn't do one for Tayshia's season.
Right.
But it's been live for so long. They're not doing a live one. They're pre-recording it, which just shows how careful ABC is trying to be right now, because they clearly like are worried about having a live show, I guess. Like they want to make sure they want to watch what the conversation is before they put it out, clearly. Which,
right.
That's a little like, come on. Give us a live show.
And they're clearly
a fucking live show.
Right. And they're clearly thinking, because they're going to have to bring in some new host, which, again, we don't know who that's going to be.
Right.
And that's a new host who is not known or hasn't handled a live show before. So there's a couple reasons. But I agree. I would prefer if it were live, but we're just not going to get it this time around.
Yeah. Yep. Which is it's going to be interesting because that's. I feel like how that goes down too is going to help decide who becomes the Bachelorette, which is also apparently been delayed. Production has also apparently been delayed a week as well because they haven't decided who it's going to be yet. So
it's a mess.
Not a lot of decisions being made over there.
It's a mess. It's just been a mess for a few weeks now.
Yep, it's really been a mess. So we'll be back next week to talk about the Women Tell All. Can't wait, guys.
Who? It's going to be Victoria, MJ. It's just going to be the crew's back.
It's going to be the OGs.
Yesenia, MJ, Victoria. I mean, we're going to have Brittany with the escort stuff with Annie. It's going to be intense. I keep flip-flopping because sometimes I'm like, damn, I really don't want this at all. I'm so over it. I don't care what any of them have to say. But then I'm like, could be good.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
There's a small part of me. Yeah, I'm a little excited for the Women Tell All, but I'm also not excited for them.
Right. Like, there's never... If they announce, like, hey, guys, we're just cutting it this year, I've been like, okay, that's fine. I wouldn't have been upset about it.
Agreed.
Yeah. Okay, guys. Like I said, that wraps it up. And We will... The three of us... See you next Wednesday. Rhea and I will see you on Friday.
Yes, Brian. Thank you for laying out the schedule.